Now, first of all, your new album, Splinter, Songs from a Broken Mind. Was your mind that broken?
When I was making, not when I was making it, but in the 3 or 4 years before I really started to make it, after the last album was finished, very much so. A number of things happened, actually. We had a family fairly quickly. You know, within a few years, we went from no children to 3 children, and I didn't adapt to that very well. I loved the children very, very much, but I missed the life I had before, and I struggled with that for a bit, and the responsibility of them and so on. I had a bit of a midlife crisis at the same time, because I crossed 50 years old, and not in wanting to hang out with young women or anything like that, but I started to get really paranoid about being old and dying, and anyway, and it all, you know, it all was a bit much, and I, for some reason, I think that and other things, it just got the better of me for a while, and I started to have panic attacks and all kinds of things, and eventually that was got so frequent that I realised something was wrong, and so I went to the doctors to try to sort that out, and then they said the underlying cause of all these sorts of things is depression, so they put me on antidepressants, and that made it worse, so they put me on a different kind of antidepressants, and that did work, actually, but it took me quite a few years to get through that. And actually, an intervention. Gemma did an intervention on me because I was getting so blanded out by everything, by the pills and so on, that I really wasn't engaging in life at all. And she was getting really worried about me. So that was a little drama towards the end of it. And when you come through that, and when you come out the other side, and you're able to look back on it, you realise just how broken you are, and how you're not the person you used to be, and it's quite a big thing, actually, to go through, you know. And so when I did start to write songs again, it became kind of the dominant topic to be writing about. And then when the album was finished, you got to think of a title that kind of explains it. Songs from a Broken Mind seemed to be the most suitable.
I didn't know what to expect, first of all, but when I've listened to it, what I liked about it was the darkness and the distortion. But then again, I thought, God, this is not radio friendly, is it? Was that something that you kind of worried about when you made the album?
And I didn't worry about it, but I'm very aware of it. Yeah, pretty much everything I've done since 1994 has not been very radio friendly. And it's a conscious decision. You know that if you make music of that kind, then you're limiting enormously the amount of opportunities you got for it to be heard. And so for me, I know that it's going to be a very rare visitor to radio, and I accept that. And you try to find other ways of getting music out to people. So things like, you know, obviously playing live a lot, touring, festivals is particularly important, where you're playing to people that don't know you or not that familiar with your stuff. It's just you reach out to people in whatever way you can. And I think it's more important to do that. What's important is you make the music that you love, and then you try to find ways of getting it to people, rather than making music you're not particularly keen on, but know that will go on the radio. You know, you want to be successful, and you want people to like what you do and to buy what you do, but you want them to buy what you do. You don't want them to buy something you've contrived to put together because you think they're probably going to like it. And it's a different side of the fence. And I spent many years, when I very first started, I did it the right way. I did what I wanted, did what I loved, and I very luckily, it became successful. And then I got corrupted by the whole fame thing. And as a career started to slide, I started to write songs just to try to keep the career alive. I would listen to A&R men, I would listen to all kinds of advice. If the radio were playing ballads, I would go and write a big chunk of ballads and try to get... So I'm really ashamed of myself for letting that happen and going through that. And that continued, really. Oh, and the other thing was, I wasn't even very good at it. You know, I didn't write any... I'm trying to do all these things to keep the career alive, and it was still suffering. It was still getting worse and worse and worse. So even when I tried to sell out, I was rubbish at it. So, you know, selling out didn't work at all for me. So I realised that, and realised I had no skill for manipulating opinion whatsoever. And so I just went back to doing what I love doing, and the music, when I did that, became much heavier again.
That kind of lack of confidence, was that something that was in your way sometimes, or was there a time where you thought, you know what, I'm done with this, you know what, I'm just going to go and work for McDonald's, I've had enough?
I never wanted to stop doing it because I love it. Yeah, and although I wanted to be famous, it wasn't an X Factor kind of desire where I would go on and sing any old thing that, you know, a judge told me to sing and wear whatever they told me to wear. It was very different to that. I did exactly what I wanted to do. I guess it's obvious, really, when you listen to the stuff that I was doing. You know, this is why people talk about me being a pioneer now and all that kind of the accolades that I get, which are very, very lovely, but I'm not sure it's totally deserved. But I was very much doing my own thing and doing what I wanted to do. But I did want to be famous, you know. But I think if you can become successful doing something which is uniquely your own, then it's by far and away the most credible way and the most satisfying way of becoming successful. If you were to become successful by clever manipulation of opinion, by writing just the right song at just the right time, you know, and kind of guessing what people were going to want and writing that, even though you may not be that keen on it, but you knew it was what they wanted, that must be a fairly hollow kind of satisfaction. And it's not one that I want, and which is why I'm doing things like Splinter. You know, it's not radio friendly, and it's going to be difficult to get it to people and to make it successful. But I'm very proud of it, and I have chosen that path. That's what I want to do.
Actually, when I've listened to Splinter, there's that part that you've just talked about depression and where you feel the darkness. And then there's that dreamscapey part, like with the calling, for example, or who are you, where I think you're looking for a certain mystery. Is there something that you've been craving for, or something that you've been looking for and couldn't find?
A lot of it actually is, although it probably doesn't make much sense, but it's to do with the children. There's two or three songs in there which are just science fantasy, ideas from a book that I'm trying to write. There's a song called I Am Dust, We're the Unforgiven, and there is one other, but I forget what it is at the minute. But they're just science fantasy songs. They're just ideas from a story that I'm trying to write. There are other songs like Everything Comes Down to This, Lost, and some others, which are very personal, to do with the struggle of being depressed. Here in the Black is about depression. So there's quite a bit of it about that. And I'm saying the majority of it is to do with that. And then there's a few others, and they deal more with fear of not being around, fear of not being there for the children, worrying about what's going to happen to the children. They've become my new paranoia, in a way. I kind of exchanged the fake one that was there before, because I don't know what I was paranoid about, but it was paranoid about something, but couldn't really identify it. And now I've got something to be paranoid about. I worry an awful lot about the children and what's going to happen to them, and I worry about, I'm an older parent, and I worry about the fact that I'm going to be gone too soon, perhaps, for them. And that's definitely crept into where I can never be is that. And that's me talking about when I'm gone and haunting them. That's not healthy, is it?
I love the idea. You're that voice from behind.
Yeah, I'm not sure they'd want it, actually.
Can you remember, like, your son, like, going, Dad, I'm having my first joint, would you please leave me alone?
Get out.
Looking back on your career, is there something that you haven't done where you think, I need to do this, I have to do this?
To be honest, the career has actually been a real roller coaster. You know, so much of it has been really difficult, and it's not been as successful, quite anything like as successful as I would like it to have been. So I've always had that kind of regret, and that, which goes hand in hand with ambition still, to want to keep trying to, you know, do better and play in bigger places and enjoy that side of it more. But I've never had that. I've never had that consistency where you go out on tour and you know you're going to sell it out and you know it's going to be the best experience. Yeah, whenever I do tours, I'm always worried if anyone's going to turn up. And it's this constant worry, really, about where are we at, you know, at the moment now? How are things going to go? So I've always thought of it as being kind of a hand-to-mouth kind of career. You know, I've never had the... Well, I've very rarely had the highs that a lot of people have had, and I've certainly not been able to maintain them the way that some other people have done. And so I'm very aware of that, and I think a lot of that's my own fault. So I'm not grumbling about it. That's just the way it is. And obviously my choice of music has had a large part to play in that as well, because I decided to make music which is really difficult to sell, which isn't the wisest thing to do. So I kind of, it's kept my ambition alive, though. That's what's interesting about it. And it's kept me hungry in a way that I think a lot of other people that have had long careers haven't had. I've noticed, and I would never name names, but I've noticed that so many people that have long careers, they get to a certain point and they seem to just bland out. It's as if all the kind of the spark and the love for it, it goes away, and they just start to churn out this middle of the road stuff. And I'm kind of the opposite to that. And I think that might be because I've had the careers have been really up and down. And so I never lost that hunger for it, and I never lost that ambition. I still want to keep doing new things and new sounds, and I keep wanting to push forward with every album because I've still got something to achieve. And it gives you drive. It gives you that push to keep on trying to do something different. Every album is a step forward from the one before, and I don't think there's any examples where I've sort of just sat back and, I mean, take retro things, here and now type tours. You know, I've avoided that stuff like the plague, because to me it's just, you might as well put a big sign over your head saying, run out of ideas, you know, nothing more to offer. We're just all live in the past and remember how things used to be.
And become a tribute band of our, a tribute of ourselves. Like,
yeah, become your own caricature, a tribute band, yeah. Yeah, I just, I'm not knocking it. Yeah, I really don't mean to belittle it or criticise people that do it, because everyone has to do what they want to do for their own career. But for me, it would feel like the kiss of death. I would rather stick my head in an oven than do that. You know, I'm still very eager to make new stuff. I'm anxious to move forward. The only regret that I've got is that it takes me so stupidly long to make an album. You know, there's got to be a better middle line than the amount of time I've been taking. And the reason for this one, as we talked about, you know, this is long, long period of depression where part of depression is that you've got no drive. You don't want to do anything. You're lethargic and can't be bothered. And then, unfortunately, the cure, which takes some time, does exactly the same thing. You can't be bothered. You know, everything is cool now. You just can't be bothered to do anything. And so you kind of need to get all through that and come out the other side. So it's actually been 7 years, believe it or not, since the last proper studio album that I did, since one called Jagged. 7 years and a bit. But I've only actually been working on Splinter for maybe two or three of those years. So the next one, I'm really into it now. I'm back in it completely, and I've got an arrangement with Aid, who produces my stuff, that every week I'm not touring, I will write a song, one song for every single week I'm not touring. So by the end of 2014, I will have another album ready, plenty of songs, lots to choose from, and at that point we'll just see if Splinter is still alive and doing well. Then we'll wait. If it isn't, then that album will be ready to come out. And I need to do that again with the one after that. You know, I need to be putting out albums every 18 months, but they need to be good. But I have to do. I mean, I'm 55. How many? You know, can you realistically be running around the stage being angry?
Yeah. Yeah, but look at Mick Jagger, for goodness sake.
Yeah, well, that's my point.
I mean,
kind of. there comes a point when it stops being rock and roll and just starts to become pastiche, and I don't know whether that's a good attitude to have or not, but I find it very difficult to shake it.
As long as you're happy with it, why do you care what other people think? It's like,
that is very, very true, and that should be the attitude that we all have. But you can't help looking in the mirror and seeing the way you're getting older. I mean, at the moment, I'm lucky. You know, I'm getting older, but I'm actually aging okay. So I'm not. I don't have a problem with it now, but I know it's coming. You know, it's going to catch up with me soon. And at that point, when you look in the mirror and think, you know, that's not cool. That just looks embarrassing. Is that the time to stop doing it? And this is why I've been thinking about film music and having something else to move into, because the day is going to come when I look in the mirror and think, you are too old, you don't look right anymore, you can't sing the songs that you've been singing, you cannot perform the way that you've been performing, because now it's going to look embarrassing and it's going to look desperate and awkward, and I want to have something else to move into that I will love doing when that day comes. And so film music seemed an obvious choice to me, which is part of the reason I moved to Los Angeles, to begin to prepare for that. But I'm not sure that's for me either, so I'm kind of in a bit of a quandary at the minute as to what to even plan for the future, let alone do for the future.